Well, good morning to you all. It is such a pleasure to be here with you this morning in this new year, to see your smiling faces in the year 2021. What a blessing that is. Before I get going, I do want to mention one thing. I found out just before I got up here that sitting over here are Ross Paramore and Caroline Hood. I found out they got engaged this weekend, and so we're very happy for them. We wish you guys blessings in your new life together. May God bless you. Let's pray that God blesses this great young couple. We also have Connor Duff here this morning. We're glad to have him here. He's recently engaged, and we're glad to see you too, buddy. Glad you could be here with us this morning. It's good to be here, finally in 2021. Now, I imagine that many of us are looking at this new year in many different ways. I imagine a lot of us look at 2021 with a lot of optimism, right? We look at this new year and we think, this is going to be great. It can't possibly be worse than 2020. But I don't think that every single one of us is looking at 2021 that way. Maybe there are some of you who are looking at 2021 a little bit like this, with a little cynicism. I mean, with a little, you know, suspicion. I'm not sure what's going to happen. You know, 2020 was bad. We didn't expect that. So let's check and see what's going to happen before we get too excited about 2021. And some of you guys are even worse than that. You're looking at 2021 with downright cynicism. 2020 was bad, and I'm just sure that I need to come into 2021 like this. I need to bring weapons into 2021 because it's just going to be terrible, okay? By the way, that last one was created by our very own Jocelyn Ray, okay? Maybe some of you are looking at 2021 like that. Regardless of whether or not this year is going to be better, much of the same, or even if this year is going to be worse, I think there's an important saying in the book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 1, when Solomon says, "For I have taken all this to my heart and explain it, that righteous men, wise men, and their deeds are in the hand of God. Man does not know whether it will be love or hatred, anything awaits him." The truth is, we don't know what's going to happen in this new year. We don't know whether to be optimistic, skeptical, or downright cynical. But we do know that as people who fear God and who love him, we are in the hands of a God who works all things together for our good. And we do know that whatever may come, whether good or bad, there will be opportunities that come with it. Opportunities to glorify God, his Son, and his Spirit. And so let us resolve to do that. Whatever may come, we will use the opportunities that are afforded to us to glorify our great God. Now, before we get going on our sermon this morning, I want to mention something. We're excited to get our family reports back, aren't we? I'm very excited to have family reports back, at least this morning. And obviously, you know that in our family report, we're going to have our calendar for the new year. And this is a calendar that has our plans on it. And if we learn nothing from 2020, we learned that plans are subject to change. So understand that we put some dates on there. We've targeted some dates on there for some very important stuff. And we're excited about possibly bringing those things to pass. But all of those dates are subject to change, okay? So just keep that in mind, that we may have to continue to be flexible going into 2021. If this year has taught us anything, it's taught us that life is out of our control. It's out of our hands. And so we need to plan and be ready accordingly. By the way, if you want a good laugh, then you need to go online to our website, find the first sermon I preached in 2020, okay? Find that first sermon. I want you to listen to the first 5-ish minutes of it where I talk about the calendar. It'll have you rolling, okay? We're going to do this. And on this date, we're definitely going to have Ladies Day. And here, we're definitely going to have our VBS. It's quite a display. Sometimes I look to the future with a whole lot of arrogance. And I hope we've learned our lesson from 2020. With that being said, I want you to turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. Will you do that with me? Turn with me to the book of Nehemiah, to the second chapter of Nehemiah. You know, every Sunday is special, but this Sunday is extra special. because this morning it is my privilege and my pleasure to introduce to you our new preaching theme for the year 2021. We're calling it Rise and Build. Rise and Build. And our theme will be centered on the story of a man named Nehemiah. Now, as we introduce our new theme, I think it's important for us to get into a little history. I think it's important for us to look at a little bit of the background that goes on in the story of Nehemiah, because only then are we fully going to be able to appreciate what Nehemiah did and learn the lessons that his story teaches us. So as we get going, let's get a little history on Nehemiah. Around 600 BC, the people of Judah are attacked multiple times by the Babylonians as a punishment for their sins. They had lived wickedly in rebellion against God for a number of years, and he begged them to turn around and they didn't. And so God sent the Babylonians against them, and ultimately they just decimated the nation of Judah. They completely destroyed the nation, especially the capital city of Jerusalem. After they attacked those multiple times, the walls were torn down, the gates were burned with fire, homes were destroyed. The temple, the beautiful temple that Solomon built, it was completely undone. And thousands were killed or taken as captives to the land of Babylon. Now, 70 years after that happened, the Persian army came and they defeated the Babylonians. And when they defeated the Babylonians, they actually released all of the captives that they had taken, that the Babylonians had taken, and they allowed those people to go home. And some of those captives, after they were released, some of them elected to go home, and mainly so that they could rebuild and restore the city that had been absolutely destroyed 70 years before. And so we read about this first group that went back, led by a man named Zerubbabel. I'm putting that up there so you can have the verse reference. I'm not saying all those names. So whoever was looking forward to me saying those names is not happening. But the first group was led back by a man named Zerubbabel. And he, through the help of God, was able to rebuild a temple. And so he could restore that kind of worship of the people of God in the land of Judah. After him, there was a group led by a man named Ezra. And Ezra was a scribe, and he returned to Jerusalem so that he could lead a spiritual revival, so that he could teach them the ordinances and the statutes that God had taught in his law. And so Ezra went back, and he did that. And so after the captives are released, Jerusalem is slowly being rebuilt. Now, 90 years later, we're introduced to a man named Nehemiah. He's a Jew who's living in Persia, and he is serving as the king's cupbearer. And it seems like he has never been to Jerusalem, and he never knows its condition. Not every captive went home. Many of them had made comfortable lives in Persia, and so they stayed there. And that seems like what Nehemiah's family had did. They stayed in Persia, and so he, as a young boy, grew up in Persia, and he had never been back to Jerusalem. He knew nothing about what it looked like. He knew nothing about the city. He knew nothing about the state of the city. That is until Nehemiah chapter 1. When in Nehemiah chapter 1, a relative visits Jerusalem. And as he returns to Persia, Nehemiah asks him, "How are things going back in the city? How are things going in Jerusalem?" And then he finds out that things back home are not going very well at all. Nehemiah 1 and verse 3. "And they said to me, 'The remnant there in the province who has survived the captivity are in great distress and disgrace. And the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire.'" Nehemiah learns the temple has been rebuilt. The people have homes to live in. There's been important spiritual progress that's been made, but still there's important work that needs to be done. The gates and the walls are still broken down. They're still burnt out and destroyed. And for decades, this work has been neglected. And so the people are in great distress and disgrace, and they're in great danger. So after hearing this, Nehemiah determines that he's going to fix those walls. So the very next thing he does, he prays to God. And then he asks the king for some time off. And then he heads to Jerusalem to rebuild the broken walls. Let's pick up the reading there in Nehemiah 2. Nehemiah 2 and verse 11, where the Bible tells us this. So I came to Jerusalem, and I was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, I and a few men with me. I did not tell anyone what my God was putting into my mind to do for Jerusalem. And there was no animal with me except the animal on which I was riding. So I went out at night by the valley gate in the direction of the dragon's well, and on to the refuse gate, inspecting the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which were consumed by fire. Then I passed on to the fountain gate into the king's pool, but there was no place for my mount to pass. So I went up at night by the ravine and inspected the wall. Then I entered the valley gate again and returned. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done, nor had I as yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the rest who did the work. Then I said to them, "You see the bad situation we are in, that Jerusalem is desolate, its gates are burned by fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so that we will no longer be a reproach." I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me, and also about the king's words which he had spoken to me. Then they said, "Let us arise and build." So they put their hands to the good work. As the story goes throughout the rest of the book of Nehemiah, in 52 days, just 52 days, the people there in Jerusalem finished those walls. They finished in 52 days work that had been neglected for 90 years. It's an amazing story. And our theme for this year comes from that story. It comes from that phrase you heard in verse 18, "Let us arise and build." And we've picked that theme. We've picked that theme because there are some similarities between our situation in Nehemiah's story. In a lot of ways, right now, where we are is a lot like where Nehemiah and the people of Jerusalem were when we come upon this story. So let me point out a couple of those to you. First of all, I want you to appreciate that like Nehemiah, we all have something to build. Like Nehemiah, we all have something to build. The walls of Jerusalem had been crushed by the Babylonians. The gates had been consumed by fire. In Jerusalem, there was a job to do. There was something that needed to be done because the people were in great distress and disgrace because they didn't have walls, which made them susceptible to their enemies. And honestly, it was a national dishonor that the walls had been broken down. The walls needed to be built. There was work to do. And just like them, we all have something to build, don't we? And no, I don't mean by that we need to build something physical. We don't need a new classroom wing and we don't need a bigger auditorium. We all have much more important spiritual building to do. Brothers and sisters, we have personal building to do, don't we? None of us are yet who we ought to be. Not a single one of us. And God expects that by this time next year, we will be people who look more like Christ than we do now. We have personal building to do. And we also have progress to make in our homes. We can do better. We can do better in our homes. We can love one another better. We can treat one another better. We can use our little family unit better in ways that glorify God. We have progress to make in our homes, and we have progress to make as a church family too. Look, I'm so pleased to be a part of this church family. I'm so glad to be here, and you guys have welcomed me so warmly. And I've told people, I don't know who can attest to this, but I've said it around some people. When people ask me how my year has been, ask me how I'm doing, I always tell them this: it's been a hard year, I'm not going to lie to you, but I can't imagine going through it anywhere else. I love you guys. And this is a great family to be a part of. But still, we are not yet who we ought to be. We are not yet who we can be. There is progress that we can make together. Like Nehemiah, we all have something to build in our own lives, in our homes, in this church. And I think I should add this too. Maybe we're even more like Nehemiah than we thought. Maybe we not only have things to build and progress to make, but maybe after 2020 we have something to rebuild. Maybe 2020 created a mess in your personal life. Maybe your Bible reading habit took a hit. Maybe your prayer life went up in smoke. Maybe the stresses and anxieties of 2020 caused you to succumb to sin in ways that you hadn't in years. Maybe there's some personal building, some personal rebuilding that we have to do. And maybe 2020 created a mess in your family. You know, I know people have said that throughout the course of this year, quarantine, working from home has actually helped them grow closer as a family. I think that's awesome. And I hope that happened for every one of us. But I imagine that for some of us, it didn't. Maybe family life got harder for you. Maybe the frustrations caused you to treat your kids worse than you should. Maybe it put a strain on your marriage. Maybe 2020 caused some problems in your family life, and you need to rebuild. And maybe 2020 created some messes in our church family. Maybe after 2020, we've got some hurt feelings over politics, over racial tension, over masks. Maybe as a result of COVID-19, we're a little bit further apart and not as intimate and close as we were before all of this. Maybe we've gotten a little distracted. Maybe we aren't worshiping God as well as we used to. And even if none of that's true, we still have something to build. Like, I think it's true that like Nehemiah, we all have something to build. Whether that is just making progress on how far you've already come, or maybe that is rebuilding something that has been broken down. Like Nehemiah, we all have something to build. And like Nehemiah, we have to appreciate this secondly. Like Nehemiah, we aren't starting from scratch. I think that's something that we need to appreciate and give thanks for. You know, when Nehemiah got to Jerusalem, the walls and the gates, they were out of sorts. They weren't what they ought to be. But he could appreciate that some progress had been made. Nehemiah wasn't starting from scratch. Zerubbabel had come back. He'd built the temple. Ezra had come back. He led a spiritual revival in his time. The people had homes to live in. He wasn't starting from scratch. He was building on a strong foundation. And I think we have to appreciate that we're doing the same thing. You have a strong personal spiritual foundation. Your home has a strong foundation. This church has a strong foundation. And when we talk about building in 2021, we're not talking about starting from scratch. We've been building spiritually for years. We get to add to that progress. We don't have to start at the beginning. And while we're talking about that, I think it's important to say that whether we're talking about you personally, whether we're talking about your family, or whether we're talking about this church as a whole, whatever building project we're talking about, it's important to say that we're not going to finish this job in a year. That's not going to happen. We are going to continue building in all of these areas for the rest of our lives. You know, I think sometimes when we talk about growing, when we talk about building, when we talk about maturing, sometimes it's easy to get a little overwhelmed. We look at the standard that has been set up for us, and it seems so high. It seems so out of reach. It is out of reach. Sometimes we get overwhelmed when we think about building ourselves, building our family, building our church. But I think what we need to remember is that we're not going to finish this job in a year. I think we need to remember to not get overwhelmed looking at the whole journey, looking at how high the finished product is. Instead, what we need to focus on is just the next job. Can we do that this year? Don't get overwhelmed looking at how far you have to come. Just look at the next step. Just focus on the next job. We aren't starting from scratch. But we are building, and we are always building. Let us focus on that next step, that next job. And let me say this thirdly, like Nehemiah, our work cannot go undone. You know, it was great that the temple was built, and it was great that Ezra taught the law, and it was great that the people had homes to live in, but those people in Jerusalem could not be content to leave things as they were. The city needed walls, It could not go undone. And the same is true for us. We've come a long way in our walk with God. Many of you are great spiritual people. You've been becoming more like Christ every year for the past 50 years. But we are still not who we ought to be. And there's still progress to be made. And not a single one of us should be content with leaving things where they are. I'm looking right now at Ron and Marie Adams. You guys are wonderful. You guys are such a great example to me. You guys are amazing spiritual examples. But even people as great as Ron and Marie Adams should not be content to leave things where they are. They should be better next year than they are right now. That's how all of us get better. That's how we become people like Ron and Marie Adams as we grow up. Our work cannot go undone. There's always room for growth. And so let us rise and let us build. Nehemiah's story is one of great success. And if we learn the lessons that he can teach us, then we will rise and we will build and we will find great success. So let us resolve to do that in this new year. Now, very quickly, as we do every year when we talk about our theme, I want to talk about how our quarters in this year are going to be divided up. So in the first quarter of the year, our sub-theme is going to be let us rise up. And what we want to do is, in this quarter of the year, we want to talk about getting started. It's not easy to begin a project. It's not easy to rise up, especially when you've got all the holiday weight. It's not easy to rise up. And beginning, that's why the work of rebuilding these walls and gates in Jerusalem have been neglected for 90 years. It's not easy to start a project. And so in this first quarter, we want to talk about how we get started. And Nehemiah's story shows us that when we're getting started with a project, there are three things that are important. First of all, we need a plan. We need to think about how we are going to move forward. Progress doesn't just happen. It doesn't just spontaneously combust and come out of nowhere. Progress happens because we plan. We make a plan and we resolve to do better. It was just like Nehemiah. When we read that text, you remember it talked about how he inspected all of the gates and he went out at night and he looked at all the walls and he observed just what had to be done. We need to do the same thing. We need to examine ourselves. We need to look at where we are. We need to inspect ourselves and make a plan about how we intend to get better this year. If we're going to make progress, we need a plan. But secondly, we also need to clear out the debris. Just like Jesus talks about in Matthew 13 and verse 22 when he talks about the thorny soil. Sometimes we can have things in our lives that prevent us from growing, that prevent us from flourishing and bearing fruit. If we are going to make any progress building this year, we got to clear those things out. We got to clear the idols out of our lives. We got to clear the thorns out of our lives. And thirdly, if we're going to make progress, we need people to inspire us and to guide us in that work. The people in Jerusalem, they had Nehemiah, didn't they? And here today, in the church, God has set up his church in such a way that we have men who lead and inspire us and guide us in our work. We have shepherds. And I want to say that especially this year, I appreciate the hard work of our shepherds here. Can we amen that? It has been a difficult year to be a shepherd, and I appreciate their work. And it's also time for us to think about, as a church family, adding new shepherds. And so, Lord willing, in the year 2021, in this first quarter, we're going to begin the process of installing new shepherds in our congregation. And I want to let you know that this should be mentioned in your family report. Starting next Sunday, for the next two Sundays, that's the 10th and the 17th, Dawn is going to be preaching four lessons on shepherd and shepherding. And so I want to make sure you listen to that. That's four lessons in two Sundays. That means that this audience is going to miss two of those. And I want to encourage you strongly to make sure that you listen to all four of those lessons. Will you do that? Will you resolve to do that? This is an important thing for our church family. We need you to listen to all four of those lessons. And so that's what we're going to talk about in the first quarter. We're going to talk about rising up, and elders are a very important part of that. In our second quarter, our sub-theme is called The People Had a Mind to Work. In Nehemiah 4 and verse 6, when the people were halfway done with the walls, the text says this: "So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work." The people in Jerusalem were inspired, they were encouraged, they were motivated to work. And this year we want to be like them. We want to have a mind to work. And so in this quarter, we want to stress the importance of continual progress. We want to stress the importance of the fact that we can never be content being where we are. And we want to talk about how we can stay motivated to always move forward, to never be content, but to continually strive to be more like Christ. Our third quarter is going to be called Do Not Be Afraid, Remember the Lord. As we'll learn in the story of Nehemiah, the people faced many obstacles in their work. It was not just a difficult work, but it was a dangerous work. And there were plenty of reasons for them to be afraid as they did this work. At one point, the text tells us that they were working with a sword in one hand and a hammer in the other. That's how dangerous this work was. There were people who didn't want this wall to be built. But Nehemiah told them to not be afraid, but to remember that the Lord was with them. And in this third quarter, we want to stress the importance of the same thing for us, that there will be obstacles in our life as we make spiritual progress. When we try to do better, Satan's going to come after us. And it may get scary, and it may get hard, it may get difficult, but we need to remember the Lord, that He is with us, and He will help us. Our fourth quarter is going to be called The Joy of Jerusalem Was Heard Afar Off. After the walls were completed, those in Jerusalem, they had a dedication ceremony. So we read about that in Nehemiah 12 and verse 43. And on that day, they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced because God had given them great joy. And the women and the children rejoiced as well, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard from far away. Their progress and their joy over their progress was made known to all, even those who were far off. And as children of God, we want the same to be true for us. We want our progress spiritually, our individual progress, our family progress, our progress as a family, as a church family, to inspire and make a difference in the lives of others. So in this last quarter, we're going to talk about how our progress can make a difference in the lives of others. Brothers and sisters, I hope you're excited about our new theme for the year 2021. I know that I am. And I hope that you'll resolve to rise and build with us. Now, before we conclude this lesson, there is one thing that I want to say, one truth that I want to impress upon your heart very, very quickly. I want you to know and remember that building is impossible without God. Can you say that with me? Building is impossible without God. That's absolutely something we have to remember, something we have to keep in mind. It's going to be a vital truth for our progress this year. Building is impossible without God. You know, that's one thing that the book of Nehemiah makes clear. In Nehemiah 2 and verse 18, the text tells us this: "And I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me, and also about the king's words which he had spoken to me. Then they said, 'Let us arise and build.' So they put their hands to the good work." Nehemiah recognizes that his success is attributable to God. God is the reason he's there. And ultimately, throughout the book, God is the reason they succeed. They build because the good hand of God is upon them. In fact, that language, the good hand of God, it is not just language that's used in the book of Nehemiah. You go back to the book of Ezra, and it's all over that book too. All of this restoration work, from the rebuilding of the temple to the spiritual revival that Ezra brought to the building of the walls through Nehemiah, all of that came through the good hand of God. He appreciated that. And we need to appreciate that too. Building is impossible without God. The words of the psalmist ring true today. Psalm 127:1, unless the Lord builds the house, they who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Remember, brothers and sisters, that without God, you will not make progress as a person. Without God, you will not build a better home. And without God, we will not make progress as a church family. The only way for us to rise and build successfully is to rise and build with the good hand of God upon us. Now, there are two important applications that we need to extract from that truth. Let me give those to you. We need to seek God this year. We need to seek God. We need to be a praying people. We need to be the kind of people that reach out to Him and ask for His help. That's what people do who recognize that they can't do it without God. It's only when we begin to believe that the power is in us and that the strength to make progress is in us. It's only when we believe that we are responsible for our growth that we stop reaching out to Him. We need to reach out to God this year. We need to pray this year like we've never prayed before. We need to pray for personal growth, for family growth, and for church growth. Reach out to God. Seek His good hand this year. And the Bible teaches us about prayer that when we pray, we're like children who are asking our Father for good gifts. And one of the things that we don't often appreciate about prayer is that the Bible teaches pretty clearly that there are some things, some good gifts that God wants to give us that He won't give us until we ask. Did you know that? We can't just sit back and live our lives without reaching out to God, without praying to Him and assume, oh, if there's something good that God wants to give me, He'll just give it to me. No, there are some things He won't give us until we ask. We must seek God this year as we seek to make progress, as we seek to rise and build. Will you do that? Pray like you've never prayed before this year. And let me say this secondly, that we get no credit, we get no glory for whatever is built. Don't you ever look in the mirror at yourself and the progress you've made and say, look what I did. Don't you ever look at your family and the progress it makes and say, look what we accomplished. And don't you ever look at this church. Don't you ever look at this church. Don't you ever look at the size of this church or the development of the Christians within it and think, look what we did. No, it's always look what God did. Remember that you don't get credit for what's built. All the glory for that belongs to God, whose good hand was upon us as we built. Well, will you remember those two things? We must seek God, and we get no credit, no glory for what is built. So with that in mind, let us this year rise and build. And let us remember that those two things, those two applications, they're also true when it comes to our salvation. Now, when it comes to our salvation, we must seek God. We can't do this ourselves. We can't accomplish this by our own merits. We have to trust. We have to seek in God to save us through Jesus. And we have to remember that when we've been saved, we get no credit, we get no glory for what happens. It's all about what Christ has done in me. And if you want Christ to do something in you that He's never done before, if you've never been saved, then He can do that right now. The Bible says that if we believe in Jesus, if we're willing to repent of our sins and confess our faith in Him, then we can be baptized. We can be baptized in water, seeking salvation through Jesus, and we'll rise to walk in newness of life, a new creature, ready for the good works that God has prepared for us to do. If we can help you do that, if we can help you be saved, we invite you to come to the front while we stand and while we sing.